Hello, welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today we have Rebecca and Diana from the Homespun Haints podcast. They are funny, they are serious, they have great guests, and we always have a good time when we get together. But I want to give a quick shout out to Miranda Young from the Ghost Bikers Explorations, and also Chris Sumners from Soul Sisters Paranormal. They joined forces and came up with a great business venture together, and they are opening up the historic Scott County Jail in Tennessee. Their links will be at the bottom of this podcast, along with the Homespun Haints. Check out historic Scott County Jail. I'll be right back with my interview with the Homespun Haints after their brief promo and a couple brief announcements, and we'll get right into it.
Ghost stories are always scarier when they're told by the very people who experience them. Hi, I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And we're the hosts of the Homespun Haints podcast.
We talk to people just like you who've come face to face with ghosts, demons, haints, and other strange paranormal phenomena. All of it makes for a chilling good time.
So grab yourself a sweet tea, turn off the lights, and listen to some eerie, true ghost stories on Homespun Haints. Wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not scared. Are you?
Today we have the Homespun Haints podcast crew on, that the co-host by Becky and Diana. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Al.
I came across your podcast by watching Ghost Biker Chick's show and downloaded a couple of your podcast episodes, and I fell in love with it.
Oh.
I mean, it's awesome.
We're not Thank too weird you. For you.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm probably weirder or I have a weirder guest on. But no, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I love your pre-show banter you do. I mean, the one, before we get into your podcast, so I mean, I just have to say the one, I mean, there were many, but the one that, about the octopus.
Yep, that was a fun time.
I'm waiting to see the, I think it was a Curses, or I forget which one it was on.
But it was, Chickens and Curses and
Yes. And I seen the octopus one. I was like, oh my God. I sit in my sunroom and I had to pause your podcast. I was laughing so hard. You know, it's like, I'm just picturing this little octopus.
Size of a walnut. Up.
Yes. I mean, if he's only 1 inch tall, I mean... And poor the female's like 6 foot. I mean,
relationship goals.
You know, and I'm just dying laughing, and I don't know how you kept it together. I think it was one of you just cracking up, but I was like,
it's probably me.
Becky's really good at editing the cackling out of our podcast when it's overwhelming.
I went and I looked it up. You know, I was like, and there was more. You know, like, you know, the little guy don't live long after that. You know, mm-mm. So. I call him the little guy, but in more ways than one. But shoot, man, I was, you know, I got to listen to the other one. So I got about 4 or 5 down in the bank cool. Right now. But I want to get to those too. But a little bit about your background. I mean, how did you two meet?
Ooh.
Well, we actually both used to live in Florida for 3 years, from 2006 to 2009. Diana was in grad school and my husband was in grad school, and we lived in the same apartment complex, and we both knew each other as Courtney's cool neighbor. I had a neighbor, Courtney, and Diana, you knew her through school.
Yep. And she was my classmate and Becky's next door neighbor. We didn't live in the same complex at first, but yet. I moved in because Becky and Courtney were so cool. So,
yeah. And we just, we started meeting up every week to watch Ghost Hunters together.
Cat sitting for each other, et cetera.
Yeah, because I've seen ones from Tennessee. Becky, you're from Tennessee?
Yes, I grew up in Northeast Tennessee in the mountains.
Yeah, the Appalachian.
Yep.
God's country.
Definitely.
We have some Appalachian down here in Ohio, too.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do. Yeah.
And now you reside in Georgia?
Yes, I'm just north of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Diana is not. She's
no. I'm from Tulsa, and I'm back in Tulsa after a 10-year hiatus.
And that's quite a jump between Tulsa and Georgia.
anywhere you want to go to Tulsa is quite a jaunt. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do your podcast via like Zoom?
We actually use a software called Riverside, but yeah, it's been remote. Diana and I actually haven't seen each other in person since 2018.
So. Wow.
I know.
I lived in a van for 6 months, so I came and stayed in her driveway for a while. That was
that was
probably
nice.
Enough for the rest of her family.
No. Gosh, you're welcome to come stay in my driveway. I've got a very long driveway, so yeah. Though I think my next door neighbor thought y'all were hippies. Remember, she just came up. She's like, "Yeah, you guys are hippies or something, huh?"
Close enough.
Yeah. Thank God for the good neighbors, huh?
Right.
Yeah, we're like the youngest couple here in this complex. I live in a little village in Ohio, Newton Falls, Ohio. We're the only little town in the United States that has this same numbers for the zip code. 44444.
You're kidding.
Whoa.
Well, I won't forget that. You could just say you're down on all fours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't help it.
Hello? I was like, oh gosh, did he cut us off after that comment?
I was said back by that, but yeah. I'm not usually too surprised on some of the stuff I get on here, you know, but have you ever had that on your podcast where you're kind of like lost? You know,
yes, all the time.
It's the magic of editing,
I guess, kind of throws you back.
Yep.
And I was thinking about that on a couple of your episodes, you know, especially the one with the curses, the chicken. And I'm thinking of this guy that brings a chicken to a funeral that you're sitting around a circle and the chicken's got its feet
in Zimbabwe. Yep.
I'm thinking, is this serious or? And I'm really losing it on that one. Then when you continued with the chicken, got untied the chicken's feet, got up and walked around the circle, and they drank this nasty beer, and and the chicken's walking like a dog. I was like, you know, I love this podcast, you know, because it has nothing to do. Well, it does. Your beginning and your story really keeps me going, you know. You know, I've had other curses on this show, you know, that wasn't quite as funny, but I understand where she was coming from, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a great storyteller.
And
yeah.
Then talking to people all around the world, you know.
That's the fun part. And we do two separate sections of our show. We do our main show every other week, which is true ghost stories told by the people who actually saw the ghost or experienced the haunting. And then what you heard, chickens, curses, and shadow people, was actually an episode of the H-Files, which is a separate dossier of episodes specifically geared towards folklore, urban legends, things that aren't necessarily firsthand encounters, but are just kind of paranormal adjacent.
What do you call them? H-Files?
H-Files. H-Files, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought they were very interesting.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I love that one. But I believe it's Becky you're the diehard believer, right?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up with them, the stories.
Right, so, right. So you grew up in with the homespun Haints, you know. And yes. I know the Haints as myself because the complete side of my father is from Alabama.
Okay. Well, a Haint is a supernatural, paranormal entity that you don't want in your house. So that being said, there may be some good spirits or helpful or benevolent or maybe just you know, don't mess with you type of ghosts, if you will, that you don't mind having in your house. You know, grandma banging around in the attic from time to time, or somebody who makes people you don't want in your house to feel uncomfortable. Those are good guys. We don't mind having them. A haint is someone you don't want in your house. So it's kind of a ghost, kind of a haunt, but it's got like a nasty edge to it. And it can also refer to maybe something demonic or something elemental. It really is just something you don't want around. And it's actually a Gula word. It comes from the Low Country originally, way back in the 1600s, South Carolina. And it later just became incorporated into various other levels of society and migrated. And it's still a very common term in Appalachia. In fact, there's a folklore book I like to refer to called Haints, Witches, and Boogers, and it's all about the folklore from my neck of the woods in Upper East Tennessee. So that's what a haint is. You may have seen covered porches that have that light blue color on the ceiling. That's haint blue. And in the low country and in Savannah, you will actually see people who have painted their window trims and door frames the same color. Blue keeps the haints away. It's because it reminds them of water, I think.
Yeah, and I'm kind of guessing that Diana didn't know what a haint was.
I didn't before Becky told me.
Okay.
she proposed this podcast and I was like, cool. And she was like, how about Homespun Haints as a title? And I was like, a what? I like it. It's cool. Here in my little neck of the Midwest, we get, you know, disinvited from social gatherings if we talk too much about ghosts. So I didn't grow up with that kind of tradition like she did. So I didn't have all those cool words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, it was growing up. That was just one of the first questions I asked somebody when I met them. It's like, oh, hi, what's your name? What school do you go to? Have you seen a ghost?
I was thinking it was Becky that came up with the title because of where she's from. And I know the Southern traditions and sayings, and you don't have that heavy accent though. You know, like from the Appalachian people.
She's sober right now.
But, you know,
that's surprising.
It's like a heavy twang, you know.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
You don't really have that, Becky. But
no, I left East Tennessee when I was 17 and moved to Chicago and lived there for 10 years and actively worked to get rid of my accent. Because I wanted to fit in Chicago.
So. It's just you'll have that too, you know, in certain areas where you might have a different dialect than mm-hmm. another person of the same town, you know. Well, I thought that was interesting that you're from the Appalachians, you know, in Tennessee, because I know some people around that area. And it's like, that's really a pretty area.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm, with the mountains.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that I live, at least where I live now, I can visit pretty frequently. I do take my kids up there a lot to go hiking. Up in the Blue Ridge Parkway and stuff.
Never been to Tulsa.
Well, we have a famous haunted attraction here that got knocked down in 1975 and made into a parking lot. So there's that. I don't know how else to recommend it. We're getting a new building for the Haunted Museum. I talked about one of our episodes, Gilcrease. Other than that, it's just, I don't know. It's a pretty even keel between, you know, your South, your Midwest. A lot of the people in Tulsa settled here from Alabama area. So you've got a lot of that, but it's also Native American land as well. So you've got a lot of that in the culture and kind of a mixing pot.
I take it that, Diana, you weren't a firm believer really of ghosts and spirits totally.
I'm an open-minded skeptic. Yeah.
I found out the best part of my stories on investigating was outside the story. So everything was happening outside the camera, outside the recording, outside the spirit box or whatever. Nothing was really happening when I was doing the recording, you know, but it was after the fact, you know, being pushed from behind or the cool breeze or, I mean, it's hard to explain to somebody that, I hate to say Diana, like, you know, a non-believer, but I think you're middle of the road. So yeah, they want proof. So if there's only one person that saw it, you know, well, maybe it happened, you know. But if there's like 1,000 people that have seen it, then it might happen, you know. You know, you're still kind of skeptical. But I think that's going to happen with these UFO reports that's going to be released. I don't think they're going to tell you the whole thing. I still don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We'll know in 100 years.
Right. Or if something happens between, you know, and I said that in another episode, is how would people react if a UFO did crash in your backyard? I mean, how would they react if you found out there is something other than us out there? I don't think they could handle it.
People have an immense ability to ignore what's right in front of them when they don't want to see it. Yeah.
I mean, just like the pandemic alone, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. look how people were crazy about the toilet paper, you know, yes. You know, the country's going to shut down because we have no freaking toilet paper, you know? So I'm thinking, how would the, you know, UFO sighting, you know, abduction or whatever is a little bit more important than toilet paper. But so I think, you know, these reports coming out, and I still don't think you're going to get the whole story. Your podcast, I really like it because your episodes are different. and the storylines are great. I don't know who comes up with the stories, getting your guest or the topics.
Well, we have a submission form, and we just basically do a lot of outreach to, we really like people who aren't necessarily paranormal investigators or mediums or anything like that, just regular Joes who happen to see a ghost, and those make some of the funnest guests. But we also do a lot of outreach within the paranormal investigation community and paranormal adjacent communities and things. And they come to us most of the time. People come to us and say, I have a story. And it's not like we're looking for a particular topic. We let our guests sort of lead the way with that. And there is a lot of similarities between some of the stories that we hear, but there's so many differences too. And it's every time it's a good time. And every time we're surprised by something. We learn something new every time.
Now, do you pick up guests from like from Snapchat and stuff like that or Twitter?
No, we usually don't talk to people that have already posted a story. It's more of we'll put out, you know, we'll put out like a outreach on Facebook or Instagram or even on our website. We have a submission form and we'll say, hey, if you have a story and you want to come on our show and talk about it, we'd love to hear from you. And a lot of times we get people who have never told their story before at all. We had a lot of people that have been carrying some story with them and they've been afraid to share it. And they come on the show and then they share it. And a lot of times afterward, they say, I feel so much better. I've been wanting to tell that story for years, but I didn't think anybody would believe me. And it's actually kind of a cathartic experience for a lot of people. So sometimes too, they end up sharing more than they expected to, because Diana and I will dig. Diana's really good with the questions. we'll dig a little deeper. And then sometimes people have these aha moments. They'll think, oh, I came on here to tell you this story. I completely forgot about the imaginary friend that I had as a child that looked, you know, had horns or something like that. So we start digging and it's people just sort of blossom and all these stories spill forth. So yeah, we often don't know the story before they tell them, or I'll get like a, when I do my intakes, I'll get like a sort of an overview just to make sure that it fits with what we're looking for in terms of, you know, the type of story that we like. But then they get on here and we're often surprised, and they're often surprised. So it's a lot of fun.
You're a lot like myself, you know, where they have some place to go to tell their story.
When we started the podcast, I just expected to get run of the mill ghost stories. I had no idea the level and the complexity of the stories that we would get. And there have been times where we'll be done with an interview with, say, somebody who's psychic, and they'll tell us our future. Like once they get off, they're like, I just want you to know this is going to happen tomorrow, things like that. Or we've had so many strange things, even like that most recent episode where people on, you know, two completely different people will see the same bizarre thing, like very distinctive that they didn't think anybody else had ever seen. And stories like that make you really go, there's so much more.
Well, you know, the paranormal is the what things you just can't explain, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's been really exciting for us. It's not just Appalachian ghost stories. There's so much more, and it's really been a lot of fun.
When I love your little stories before the show. Before the guest, you know, I think you had one on, and I don't know if it was Becky, that a cousin with an ammo box.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I keep picking on you, Becky, but.
That's fine. Yeah. I've got the odd family. Well, my family does collect weird things, but yeah, she had a random box of ammo in her house.
And my wife calls me the box whore, you know, because I'm just like. Always, I don't know why I'm fascinated with boxes, you know. And every story you go into, I'm like, and get like into little boxes, you know, what I could put in these boxes, you know. Or, and it's funny, like when you're talking about that ammo box, how could you have a box and not look into it?
that you never opened. You got this 1950s German ammo case from the thrift store and you never opened it.
Right.
Whoa. Mind blowing. Yes.
She had enough other stuff. She just hadn't gotten to it.
I just could not not open a box. I mean,
I don't get it either.
But that was really cool, too, because, you know, I think it was not something else she opened had death certificates or something was in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was from the late 40s and early 50s in East Germany. It was just a brass canister, and it had death certificates in it. She didn't know. They were in German. And I speak a little bit of German, so I took a look and I was like, yeah, that's what you bought. You bought death certificates.
So I love those little stories before. I have to listen to some of the other ones to see what I can pick up, you know. But
one of the reasons we do that, of course, is just to tie the whole thing back to storytelling, because we agree completely with you that it's not so much in the proof itself, it's in the "and this really bizarre outlier happened after I turned off the cameras." That's the part that we want to hear, how that made people feel and their personal experience of it. And so we really kind of like focus and push towards creative storytelling and artistic storytelling of these, these issues.
We all have ghosts in every town. So there's a lot of activity. I know that's in Oklahoma. I mean, it's everywhere. That's so the Valley could, when I first started out, it was my Valley. So it was Ohio, Pennsylvania Valley. As the people kept contacting me, you know, it is West Virginia, it is New York, you know, Tennessee. So it was everywhere. Oh, you know, and then when you get people contacting you from Australia and England, you know, the Philippines, you know, so that's even cooler, because now I'm talking to people in a different time zone and their story is almost identical to the story I just told from West Virginia, you know. So yeah, it's right? That's what's fascinating to me about it.
Mm-hmm. There's so many similarities that happen. Well, even just talking about the Philippines, we've just had two Filipino guests who spoke about Duende, which are very similar to the concepts of fairies or leprechauns or other small, I guess, kind of scheming type creatures that you find in all cultures all over the world. And it makes you think, okay, do these things really exist and everybody just has a different name for them?
But yeah, it's really cool when you have guests on that you can really relate to and you enjoy their podcast. I enjoy yours. I have only like maybe 10 I actually listen to regularly. I have a bunch of my library, but I do like yours. Yours is one of my top 10. And I'm like, you're very fluent on the way you present the story. And you make it interesting for the listeners to listen, you know.
Thank you.
I think the episode you had, I think it was a blog. So I was looking, I think I came across your blog and the angry monkeys attacked the lab worker and stole the COVID-19 vials. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, like, I don't know if you can really top the octopus, you know, but this also made me, I don't know, it's probably not funny, but I could see these monkeys overtaking this lab worker and stealing the vial and then eating the COVID.
And then they started eating them. Yeah, exactly.
Our blog is so random right now, and it's fun having it that way, but we're really trying to knuckle down and get a blog article out every week. So hopefully you'll have more reading material that's really weird soon.
But the Tennessee, getting back to Tennessee, Jonesboro home?
Jonesboro, yes.
I just read on that this morning. That was interesting, you know, on the house and the couple that bought the home. And,
oh, okay.
And they're also known for the oldest cemetery in Tennessee.
Yes. I spent so much time there as a kid. My parents were really into me doing living history activities as a child. There wasn't much to do in East Tennessee. And so they would send me to these historic sites for the summer. And one of them was in Jonesboro. And because we're kind of a little weird and ghost obsessed in East Tennessee, I spent many a summer day in that cemetery doing grave rubbings. They would give all the little children, they would give us all a piece of wax paper and a crayon and some masking tape. And they would say, okay, go find a pretty grave and, you know, make a rubbing of it with your big Crayola crayon and whatnot. And the cemetery was so old. We did have graves that date back. They had 1600, maybe as a birth date. And in front of the tombstones themselves, the graves were sunken because the coffins had rotted and the ground had sunken in. So they would say, okay, try not to step on the bodies. You can tell where they are. And we would even have little scavenger hunts we had to do, like find the person who died at the youngest, find the person who died at the oldest. And I remember that there was this one gravestone by, I think her name was Eudora or Eldora, something like that. And she did not want me rubbing her gravestone. It was really pretty. It had very lots of ornate flowers and everything. But the minute I would tape my piece of wax paper, and I would use a lot of tape. I mean, I was about 10 years old. It would, no breeze at all. It would fly away. I did this maybe 10 or 12 times. And finally I said, okay, Eudora, I get it. I'll go find somewhere else. So yes, I know that cemetery very well.
I'm going to bring that up because I know you're from Tennessee. So I knew you had to know where that was at because it's so famous. You know, so I think it was founded in 1779, I have down here. So yeah, some of them graves are, and probably some are unmarked graves that you naturally that people haven't been back to visit or take care of.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Right. I know that from Alabama when I would go as a child with my dad, some of the cemetery, you know, because most of the people buried were buried on the property. Like my grandmother had 200 acres. So, you know, way back and up on the hill was the cemetery. After so long, and graves do sink in, and a lot of the people weren't buried in, you know, vaults or they're just put in a box or sometimes just in the ground. I just remember one time going back and my dad telling me I seen a hand like in the grave, like a skeleton. And I says, he says, no, go back down the hill. And I remember him putting dirt back in the hole. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Okay, Grandpa. Nice meeting you.
Well, now that the season of the H-Files has ended, so we'll only be publishing a episode once every other week, we're now focusing on blogging and getting our website a little more reader-friendly if somebody doesn't want to listen to content. Of course, the reading content is completely different than the listening content, as you mentioned. And we also have a YouTube channel that we've just started on YouTube. And Becky does amazing animated clips from our pre-show banter that are both adorably hokey and very creative at the same time.
Yeah, it's stop motion animation, so it's.
And you're also a violinist, right, Becky?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I do the music for the show as well. So that also comes, that's an Appalachian thing, I guess. Growing up there, I just, my mother wanted me to learn an instrument, but not only was I classically trained as a violinist, but I can do a lot of bluegrass fiddling.
What's the difference between a fiddle and a violin?
Well, technically, the difference is the bridge of a fiddle, which is the piece of wood that the strings are struck. So you have the long neck of the violin, and then the strings peak at this little piece of wood. It's called the bridge. And then they are attached into the instrument. On a fiddle, that piece of wood is a little bit flatter. So it's easier to hit more than one string at a time. Because when you hear fiddling, it's a lot of, it's not just one note at a time. You hear what's called double stops, where you hear multiple strings at once. That's the technical definition. But a lot of people just use them interchangeably. Now, I have seen a girl that I went to high school with actually had a real fiddle. Not only did it have that flattened bridge, but instead of pegs on the end, it had screws like a guitar. But You can fiddle on a violin and you can violin on a fiddle.
I do listen to a lot of podcasts, their music and their graphics, art graphics for the show. You know, I think, and it's really, I love you guys. It's like I said, the way you homespun haints and then you come up with your own title with your own music and you play the music, the artwork, who did that?
That's all Becky.
Becky?
I'm the writer. She's the artist.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I actually, that's what I do in my day job. I'm a graphic designer and illustrator. Now, Diane accused me in line. She's the one that like makes sure that we keep everything on schedule, and she does all the writing, and I'm just kind of the like free floating poof of air that she has to pull down and make sure we stay on target. So,
and aren't you also an artist?
Becky is.
Becky's an artist.
I do sculpting, yeah. But only our patrons get to see that for their Halloween gifts every year.
For now, I'm trying to talk Diana into creating some homespun paint sculpture art.
We did do, and we're about to do next Friday, a live Ouija board session from the haunted office that Becky rented.
Another podcast, Haunted Housewives, asked us to do it again on their show. And I will broadcast it as well on our Facebook page. And we're going to be doing tarot cards in to try and speak to. I rent an office in a building from 1813, and everybody who rents space in that building, whether it be the psychiatrist next to me, the chiropractor down the hall, the esthetician above me, we've all seen ghosts in there.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show today, and it was my honor to have you on. I'm sorry for the delay.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
Yes, this was a lot of fun. Thank you. And you know, we've been listening to your show as well and really enjoying it, and especially the UFO stuff. We don't cover that on our show, but we are definitely intrigued by it.
Well, I found that, you know, paranormal is just about it, almost from Bigfoot to Fae to spirits, ghosts, seances, Ouija. It's a lot of things under the paranormal.
Yeah, sometimes it has been a big shock when a guest expresses something that they have held as their highest truth forever. And it just, we've never even considered that, let alone heard that before. So yeah, it's fun to meet all those new people. That's one of my favorite parts of podcasting is just being able to, just for a moment, to be embroiled in that person's world.
But thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Al.
Thank
this
you.
Great.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate
I
it.
I want to thank Becky and Diana from the Homespun Haints for being my guest today. I never laughed so hard in a long time. They are funny and they have a fantastic podcast. Make sure you check out the Homespun Haints podcast anywhere and everywhere you get your podcast. And also please go to Apple and rate and review my podcast, Ghost in the Valley. I would really appreciate that, along with the Homespun Haints. You can rate theirs as well. And please check out Miranda Young and Dr. Chris Sumner's joint adventure they're doing together, Historic Scott County Jail in Tennessee. And the links are also at the bottom of this episode. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'll see you in another 2 weeks with another great episode.